with a new message tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This kind of dovetails with what I started on Sunday morning, just a little different way of looking at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I want to preach a message titled, Do It With All Thy Might. Solomon is the writer of Ecclesiastes, and he's urging his readers in this verse to live life with a sense of urgency and diligence. Everything undertaken should be done with a passion and a purpose in mind. We should strive to do the very best that we can do for the glory of God. Our time to serve the Lord is short, especially when you compare it to eternity. So everything that we endeavor to do should be done by giving maximum attention, energy, and effort. Once we're laid in the grave, we will no longer be able to work for the Lord or personally dispense godly wisdom to others. And in light of the infinity of eternity, we should realize what a limited time to do the work of the Lord that we have to honor Him and to serve Him and to glorify Him. And while here, while we're here, those of us that are saved have the opportunity to gain rewards for faithful service. I mean, the motivation should be that we love the Lord, but the cherry on top is that He'll reward us if we'll be faithful in His service. And what a joy it would be for those who have obeyed this command to do it with all thy might, to hear the Lord Himself at the judgment seat of Christ say, "Well done." I don't think there's a greater thrill than to hear our Savior say those words of commendation. Now first I want to consider the example of the Lord Jesus Christ as it relates to this verse. Jesus made a similar statement in John chapter 9 in verse 4 where He said, "I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And as I thought about our Lord, He gave everything during His earthly sojourn. Every step He took was on purpose. Every work He engaged in was aimed at fulfilling the will of His Father. He was wholly dedicated to the task at hand, which was the redemption of the elect. Jesus Christ could honestly say, "And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." Everything He did it with all His might. Every fiber of Christ's being was engaged in doing the will of His Father. Jesus proclaimed the very reason why a human body had been prepared for Him. He said it was to do God's will. The messianic quote that He gives in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will of God, to do thy will, O God." The example of Christ. Do it with all thy might. Do it with everything you have. Do it to the best of your ability. Our Lord fulfilled the essence of this command to perfection. Everything He did to the glory of God and the good of others. Everything. There was not a wasted step. There was not a misplaced word. Everything He did to the glory of God. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're commanded to follow His steps. 1 Peter 2:21. And we are so to walk even as He walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. We're to follow the example of our Lord. Think about this. If everybody on the face of the earth would read the four Gospels and just follow the life of Christ in the way that they live. And I'm just talking about this entirely from a human perspective. What if everybody would read the four Gospels and follow the example of Christ? Can you imagine how different our world would be if people would pay attention to the Word of God? Of course, men are dead in trespasses and in sins. They don't want to follow Christ. They say, we will not have this man to reign over us. But the fact of the matter is, there is no religion. There is nothing in all the world that can compare to the example of Jesus Christ. You would do well to even be a fraction of what He was in the way that He walked on this earth. Christ Jesus calls us to a life of complete surrender and sacrifice of body, soul, spirit, will, heart, mind. If our Lord was willing to give all, should not those who are redeemed with His precious blood willingly give of themselves? Consider what Jesus Christ was willing to do for you in your stead. He loved you and gave Himself for you, meaning that He was your vicarious substitute. He took your place. He literally gave His righteousness and offered Himself on the cross so that you could be free, so that you could have peace, so that you could enjoy the glories of heaven, so that you could have eternal life. He did all that for you. If you're saved here tonight, and He did it willingly. No one had to beg Him to do it. No one had to force Him to do it. He said, I lay down my life. He said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. And He willingly and voluntarily, meekly, gave Himself. No greater example of surrender, sacrifice, love, compassion, and grace than in the person of our Lord. He's the one we're to follow. He's our example, the ultimate example of what you and I are supposed to aspire to. Our whole desire in life ought to be to glorify God and to be conformed to the image of His Son. Because ultimately, that's what's going to happen in glorification. That's the end of why we're predestinated, that one day we'll be like Him. Our lives should be devoted to Him. Your body ought to be surrendered to Him. Your mind ought to be on what pleases Him. Paul asked the Corinthians, this truth that he expressed, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's asking you to do nothing less than what your Savior did for you. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you've been redeemed. With the life, the blood, the sacrifice, the obedience, the merits of Jesus Christ. You owe your life to Him. Amen. Then, let's look at the exhortations and the example of Paul. Paul the Apostle gave a very similar exhortation under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote in Colossians 3, verse 17 and 23. He said, "And whatsoever you do, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." Do it heartily, with enthusiasm, with everything that you have, with your eye to the glory of God, with a desire to please Him. Do it heartily, not reluctantly, not half-heartedly, but with everything you got. Those are convicting words indeed. May God deliver us from all half-hearted, superficial, apathetic, careless, thoughtless, lazy, and unprepared attempts at service. Our Lord deserves our very best. Every moment of every day, with every fiber of our being, fully engaged. Another admonition that Paul gave, Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren." These are verses you ought to memorize. You ought to commit to your heart, to your mind. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is the admonition. This is the exhortation. Give yourself to God. Don't hold anything back. Give Him everything you got. Every day. With all your might. Our time is so short. Just like our verse said, you better do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Because you're going to be laid in the grave soon. You're not going to be able to labor anymore. And we have no idea when that day's coming. You may live 95 years like Brother Peters. You may live 26 years. We don't know. Your life's like a vapor. It's there for a moment and it vanisheth away. The point is, you have today. What have you done for the Lord? How have you served the one that loved you and gave Himself for you? Romans 13, 11 and 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is a high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The day is at hand. You can look at that in two ways. I think Paul was looking at it from the viewpoint that the day of the Lord, His coming, was approaching soon. I believe in the imminent return of Christ. I believe He could come at any moment, any day, any time. There's no prophetic event that needs to be fulfilled. He could come tonight. Jesus said, watch and pray, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So Paul is giving us that. Stop your partying. Stop all the other things you got going on. Awake out of sleep. Serve the Lord. Be focused. Be diligent. Be serving until He comes. You can look at it another way. The day is approaching for your death. Again, it's something we don't know. I believe that every moment of time is appointed by God. I don't believe anything happens by accident. The day of your birth, where you were born, your gender, all appointed by God. By the way, there's only two genders. I guess we're going to have to start teaching these simple fundamental truths in our churches and to our children. Jesus said God made them male and female. There's not room for anything else. Whenever you pervert God's creation and ideas associated with it, you're going down a rabbit hole of heresy. But the day of your birth was formed by God, decreed by God, the day of your death. Your last breath, the very moment when your heart stops beating and you stop breathing, that has been ordained by God. Amen. And it's approaching. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know for sure that you trusted Christ? That your sins have been forgiven? That you've repented of your sin and trusted what Jesus did? Do you have the assurance tonight that when you lay your head on your pillow, that you know for sure that if you were to die in your sleep, you're going to go to heaven? I know that. Because I believed on Him. I trusted Him. He saved my soul. He changed me forever. I think the life that my cousin is now enduring, that could have been me. That could have been me. I know what it is to feel that trapped. But God rescued me and changed me. And I want to serve Him. Paul gives us these exhortations. You know what? He was a preacher that practiced what he preached. When you examine the life of the blessed apostle, you'll find that he was willing to spend and be spent in the service of the Lord. As a missionary, he was willing to go anywhere the Lord directed him to go. He was willing to suffer any privation, trial, affliction, persecution, imprisonment, beating, shipwreck, in order to serve the Lord with all his might. He gives you just a glimpse into his personal history in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. And it tells me that Paul held nothing back. He gave body, soul, and spirit to the work of the Lord. He endured all things for the elect's sake. He said in 2 Timothy 2. And at the end of his days, he could say with full assurance, I wonder, can you say this? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As I read this and thought about it today, I said, oh God, that you would give me the heart of the apostle and his passion for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a personal application of this verse tonight. It would do us all well to examine our spiritual life and our disciplines in light of this text. Are we reading, studying, meditating, memorizing, and applying the Holy Scriptures with all our might? Are we earnestly engaged in prayer and supplication with all our might? Are we witnessing to the lost with all our might? Are we worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth with all our might? Are we praising Him with all our might? Oh, wretched man that I am. As I think upon the practical application of this verse, I'm convicted that my attempts at service, worship, and witnessing are often cold, apathetic, and half-hearted. And then let's reflect on our family life in light of this text. And when we do so, it should stir us to be more engaged with our spouse and our children. Husbands, do you love Christ like, do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? The admonition in Ephesians 5 is to love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, are you fully committed to the Lord by being obedient to Him and submitting to your husband and serving your family with all your might? Parents, are you training your children in the ways of truth and godliness with all your might? If there's ever been a day and age in which we need our young people to be trained in the way that they ought to go, in the way of righteousness and truth and salvation, in the ways of, it's today. I mean, when you look at what these kids at college and how they're protesting and all the stuff they're doing, they don't have a clue about what service to God is. All that we might strive to improve upon our love, our compassion, our sacrifice, and our service to one another in our family circle. And then I'd ask you, are we diligent in our labors in the world? The job that you have. Are you obeying Romans 12:11? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When co-workers see our testimony, is it one of perseverance and industry? Are we on time? Are we prepared? Are we engaged? Are we doing our work with a desire to please the Lord as if He were our employer? If we're to work with all our might, we must do so with a heart devoted to our Lord and a desire to bring glory to His name. George Swinock, the old Puritan, said, "My good wish is that I may be of the number of those that spend themselves with labor and not of those who waste in rust and laziness. Lord, let me rather wear out in the work than consume like a garment laid by with moths for want of use." And then I'll close with a quote from Charles Bridges in his comments on this verse. "Ought not this verse to be our daily text written in our inward parts before us in our first waking hour? What have I to do today? What duty, what work of love, what talent to be employed? What service does my Lord call me to do for Him? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" The more vigorous the exercise, the more strength. Every step supplies the strength. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. And how is it communicated? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You realize, of course, you can only do it with all your might if you stand fast in the Lord and in the power of His might. May God help us to take heed to this. Amen.